David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalamy. Today, I am so excited because we have our favorite podcaster back on the show. He has his own podcast on our channel. He's part of our podcast community, and he has an amazing list of different episodes that you could check out because they're just, it all pertains to business, it pertains to accounting, it pertains to all areas of how to navigate your business so you can elevate to the next level. Well, today, before we start, I want to just give a quick shout out to our sponsors, iHeartRadio and Spreaker, for supporting us and making this podcast happen. And to get back to our subject, today we're going to talk about sacrifice and how much is too much. And I'm going to leave the plate open to Roger Connect, and he is the founder of Universal Accounting, and he is going to tell you how much is too much when it comes to sacrifice. So Roger, welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to have you here. And like always, it always is so much fun when you come on. We have a great time. And, you know, it's so true. When it comes to sacrifice, how much is too much? Where do we cross that border?
It's great to be back, Stacey. Yeah, it's a great question because I think a lot of us struggle with this question. I think we're all asking ourselves, what is too much? And I bring it up simply this way. There's 24 hours in a day. We're all sacrificing as we try and prioritize things that we need to do or want to do. And as we're doing this, both personally and professionally, admittedly, we're making sacrifices. There are things that we're saying that I'll have to wait. I'll do that tomorrow. And as we're prioritizing things, we're trying to say, okay, this is what I need to take care of today. Well, at the end of the day, some people experience regret. They basically look back with some sense of guilt of, did I make the right choice? Did I do the right thing? Did I spend my time and energy wisely? And those sacrifices are oftentimes things that if you live in the past, if you're someone that actually lets those things weigh on you, you can actually really build up this big treasure trove of things that you're regretting because you didn't do this, you didn't go here, you didn't do that. Well, at the end of the day, we have to understand first and foremost that success does take sacrifice. Yeah. We're all making sacrifices. And so when we're out there doing things, especially as an entrepreneur, we're actually doing things that maybe, you know, impact our personal lives, maybe impacts our relationships. Perhaps it's impacting our savings account. All of these things may have to give for a period of time for us to then get that momentum to succeed. Now, that being said, there is a way to balance this or take control of it so that we can minimize those regrets, those frustrations, those anxieties associated with the frustrations we're experiencing.
You know, that is so true. Sometimes we sacrifice ourselves so much that by the end of the day, we're exhausted. And then we think, you know, the week goes by, the, you know, month goes by. And then sometimes we even, you know, don't spend as much time with our maybe partner or a spouse, and we don't spend enough of time with, you know, our children, because we sacrifice so much in our businesses that it does affect our personal life. And, you know, do you have any keys, like maybe something like, I would say, maybe could you give us five keys to the key to success? Because, you know, how are we able to balance ourselves to act so we could actually have a fulfilling life and not let sacrifice overwhelm us?
Yeah, there are a number of things, and we'll get into each of these here in a moment, but I'm going to start with something that I think is very important, and it's how to assess when you're sacrificing too much. When is there a need for you to reassess what's happening in your life? And it's not to say that, again, success is bad. You're always going to be sacrificing something today. But the point is I use a litmus test to determine whether or not I need to reassess things, and it's whether or not I can be present. If I'm in a situation where I'm with someone or I'm doing an activity and my mind is wandering, if I'm thinking about something that I just did and I just can't get it out of my mind, it's an undone thing or it's a regret that I need to still address, clearly that's something that is consuming my attention from the present that I need to really quickly address. Otherwise, it's going to haunt me. And I need to actually address that sooner rather than later. Otherwise, it's just going to impact the rest of my day. So that's one of the things that, first of all, helps me understand, you know what, if I can't focus on the now, if I can't smell the roses, clearly I need to address this thing from my past and resolve that. Now, the second is in the present, if I'm not prepared for the future, I tend to find myself wandering in my mind as I'm considering things I need to be doing to prepare for something in the future, something for later today, something for tomorrow. Well, that means I'm not prepared. I didn't allocate enough time to get ready for whatever that thing is. And sometimes we experience it as simply as we're going to an activity and we're supposed to bring some type of food item. And rather than having the time to prepare the food item, get the ingredients and make it, we're rushing to the store to just pick something up. Right. Well, those types of things can become frustrating. And so whenever I'm in a position of assessing my present state of mind, and I realize all of a sudden that I cannot focus on and enjoy the now, well, then I've got a problem. Something is out of whack. And that therefore is my indicator, my litmus test to realize I'm spending too much time in my past. I no longer can control that. So let's resolve it. I'm spending too much time in my future. I'm not as prepared as I ought to be. Let's take care of those things. And then once those things are resolved, you know, I spend a little bit of time getting those things taken care of. Then I can enjoy the present. I can be there for the conversations I'm having. I can enjoy the television show I'm watching, the movie I'm watching, the book I'm reading, the project that I'm working on without any concerns.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot because, you know, that is one thing that people always do. Either they're focused on the past and they dwell on what they didn't do or, you know, this happened and da 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 da, or they focus on the future. And then that causes anxiety too. That causes worry because they're so worried about, okay, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this, you know, and they're not focused on the present. And then sometimes I think we lose track of time and we lose track of the things we really need to do. And we get lost in the shuffle.
Yep. So this brings me to my second point. My second point is I want you to consider the analogy of taking plates and spinning them on top of a pole. I'm sure we've all seen this. And this is where that individual goes by and spins the plates and keeps them all with that centrifugal force staying level. Well, one of the things that I think we need to realize is each of us in different stages of our lives can manage either fewer or more plates in the air. We can actually take care of children or house projects or business. There are only so many plates, however, that we can keep in the air effectively. And I think sometimes we have to recognize there's a time and season for all things. And more importantly, there is a way of having too much. Therefore, we have to be willing to let something go. And once you have that realization of I've got too many things in the air that I'm juggling, you're willing to now take and let something fall, or more importantly, be set down on the ground so you can focus on the things that you consider to be a priority. And then all of a sudden, you're doing the few things well versus many things all haphazardly and at any moment could fall apart. So what we want to do is we want to focus on this analogy of really what is a healthy bit of things that you can commit yourself to. And what I'm referring to is sometimes I think we overcommit ourselves. Mm-hmm. Family chores, things around the house. Maybe it's community responsibilities. Maybe it's things we're committing to at church. Maybe it's things that we're agreeing to do at synagogue. All of a sudden what's happening is we're overextending ourselves. We're involved with the PTA for our children. We're making the meals. We're cleaning the house. We're at a point now where we're doing the yard work. We're having to take the car and get the oil changed. I mean, all these things start to add up and we're like, what do we need to let go of? And that sometimes involves delegation. So at work, there's a number of things that you can delegate to employees. At home, you can delegate chores to children. There are things that you can hire individuals to do. So at work, you can hire a vendor to take care of your marketing or hire a vendor to fulfill your package deliveries. These things can be outsourced. Some of them require time. Some of them require money. But the point is unless you get on top of this, the plates are going to start falling around you. So what we've got to do is realize what are the 2, 4, 5 plates that you can manage and do so successfully and then limit it to that.
I like that. That's so true. Because I think when the biggest thing I see when I see people fail at things is because they spread themselves too much out. And I even see that with businesses too. Sometimes people jump a couple of steps before the gun and they start expanding on their business, you know, or they start opening up other businesses related to their main business. And they're not really at that stage yet. They still have things to do. And then that's when the problems start because you're going in all these different directions and you can't really focus all your attention on the main priorities that actually maybe bring in the majority of your income or bring in pretty much all of your income.
Yeah, you overextend yourself, and then that's when things really start to fall apart. The way I look at it is this: you've got responsibilities. We all have relationships, so there's things that we need to be doing with our parents, with our siblings, with our spouses. There are things that we need to be doing with our children. Well, what you want to do is just assess what are the must-dos? What are the things that I have to do? And if you can prioritize those, then nobody feels neglected. Then you have the responsibilities that you have for yourself. How about your health? Are you eating well? One of the things that I think is kind of fun to illustrate this is, we all have to go to the restroom. We all have to put gas in our cars. We all have to eat. And sometimes, if you're like me, there are times that I get in that zone where I'm working really hard and I forget to eat. And it's like, oh my heavens, I don't have time for this. Oh, I've got to eat. I'm getting hungry. Oh, now I'm getting hangry. I've got to eat. Oh, I've got to eat. I've got to drink. I've got to go to the restroom. Now, how many of us are so busy that we find ourselves rushing to the restroom because we can't hold it any longer? Well, that's crazy. How many of us drive our cars and rather than filling it up at half the tank, quarter of the tank, we're driving around with the empty sign illuminated on our dashboard saying, fill me up before you run out of gas. How many of us are pushing everything to the limit? Well, what I'm saying is, let's step back and take a little bit more control and stop running everything down to the wire.
Oh, so true. So true. And I think that's hard for a lot of people to do. As much as we should, I see people struggle with doing this. Is there some steps that some things that you could do to actually, slow the pace in your life down? Do you do anything when you start to see yourself overextend yourself, or you start to see yourself sacrificing yourself to the point where it's not healthy? Are there some things that you personally do that kind of helps you get back into the line of balance?
I do. I'm a big fan of time blocking. And if you heard our previous conversation about time blocking, we do talk about time management. One of the things that I learned is I'm really, really good at filling my day. I'm really good at going from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. And then at the end of the day, I've got all these tasks that I need to take care of. And I really quickly realized I can't do that. I need to open up my afternoon where at the end of the day, I have time to focus, take care of things, finish up some projects so I'm not carrying them from day to day to day. So that was one of the things. I just block out and I don't do meetings in the afternoon. I don't commit myself to any particular project. There are things I just need to leave my time available to do because it feels naturally. I mean, I've got things I need to take care of. Then I also realized I cannot do things 5 days a week. I have to have one day a week where I catch up on things. And so I really try to leave my Fridays open. Fridays are open for two reasons. If and when I tend to want to make a 3 day weekend out of something, I don't have Friday obligations that I have to cancel or change. But more importantly, during the days of Monday through Thursday, there's a lot that really gets, backlogged or things I need to take care of. And I don't want to go into the weekend with those things. So I honestly don't schedule appointments on Friday. I don't commit to any projects on Friday. There are exceptions, admittedly, something comes up that I'm invited to that it's only then and I'm going to go. But as a rule, I try to keep my Fridays pretty open. And so that allows me to actually now take care of things and not carry them into the weekend. The other thing that I do is I make commitments as it relates to family. I have responsibilities as it relates to my relationships. And so I schedule, I'm a big time blocker. I schedule time with my spouse, my children, my siblings. That way I've got something to look forward to. I can plan for it. And at the same time, I know that I don't have to worry about it because it's on the calendar. I know I'm going to see my wife sometime this week.
Like that. So what are other things that we could do that are really key to not overextending ourselves and not doing too much?
Yeah, so here's where I'd like to share what I refer to as the keys to success. And I used to speak of it as four keys with a bonus. I'm just going to speak of five keys to success. And all of these are essential. I speak of them quite a lot in detail. So we're just going to kind of brush over them now. And maybe there's one that'll stand out to you that we can speak of more. But I'm just going to share what they are. And
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
We can just kind of go from there. The first is passion. I find in order to be successful, you have to have passion for what it is you do. It's contagious. It's what other people are drawn to, whether it's your customers, your employees. All of these people want to work with you because you're excited about what it is you're doing and talking about. And so you have to find that passion. And it's very important to find ways to rekindle that passion because sometimes we overextend ourselves and work too much. Well, what we need to do is find out what it is we can do to keep that energy alive, attending conferences in our industry, reading books that are about our industry. It's things that you can do to stay the expert. The second is quality of service. You have to understand that what makes you unique is the quality of the work you do and the product or service you're providing. So you have to make sure that you're standing out within your industry as that expert. And so there are things that you need to be to make sure that you're delivering that quality that everyone can expect. But you have to define it first, and then you have to, as you define it, figure out ways to make it so it's consistent. You have to make sure that what you're delivering is something people can expect and rely upon. The third is you actually have commitment. When I work with successful people, one of the things that I find passionate or fascinating is their passion for getting things done. They're committed. If it has to be done, they'll take care of it. They're willing to put in the extra time, the extra hours. They're willing to go the extra mile. They'll take out the garbage. They'll stay late. They'll open up early. The point is whatever it takes, they're going to take care of the customer. They're going to take care of the business. They're going to do whatever needs to get done. That's where I think that conflict for sacrifice starts to manifest itself because we are so committed to success. The next thing is knowledge of the numbers. Everyone I know that is successful has key performance indicators they watch. They're quantitatively following what's happening in their lives. There are things that they track of as yes or no type equations. Either yes, they did it, no, they didn't do it. There's one of these, there's none of these. If you have KPIs that you're following in your business, key performance indicators that you can say, yes, I've accomplished or done what I committed to do, then you're doing well. And then with regards to financial numbers, obviously, as an accounting professional, we stress financial reports, balance sheets, the essence of those numbers. It is the accounting language. So let's make sure we're using that as we're running the business. The last happens to be personal time. And this brings us full circle back up to passion and also sacrifice. Personal time recognizes that we can't burn the candle at both ends of that stick. We have to be able to really enjoy life, basically work to live, if you will. And because we're having that focus, one of the things that we have to understand is that studies show that if you actually have something on the calendar you can look forward to and anticipate, you're going to be much happier because you feel like you're working towards something. There's something on the horizon that you can anticipate and look forward to. They've found in these studies that actually the vacation, the time off, the activity is typically more strenuous and more stressful than actually the anticipation for it. So in other words, we work really hard. We go to Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. We get up earlier and start our days normally earlier than we normally would. We stay out longer than we typically do. We work harder because normally we have maybe a sedentary job where we're just sitting down. Here we are walking around all day long, eating junk food perhaps. And at the end of the vacation, we're like, why am I more tired than when I left on vacation? Why am I needing some rest from my vacation? Well, it's because we tend to push ourselves quite a bit when we're now vacationing, right? Well, if that's the case, we have to recognize that not only do you need to plan your vacation well and understand that the anticipation of the vacation is really where the reward is, then you have to understand that the studies then found that the people who do not have something on their calendars in the next 8 to 12 weeks typically experience a sense of depression because they have nothing else to look forward to. So to avoid the depression after the event, because you are tired and you're coming back to the workforce, let's say, well, what you want to do is you want to have something on the calendar in the next 8 to 12 weeks that you can start planning and looking forward to rather than lamenting, I've got nothing else to look forward to. It's no, there's nothing on my calendar. So the three takeaways is in order to maintain passion and have that personal time for yourself is spend time with friends and family. Make sure you're scheduling something out 8 to 12 weeks that you can look forward to and understand that it's the planning that's the real benefit. And clearly make sure that following that one event, you have again something else on the calendar that you can look forward to in the next 8 to 12 weeks that you can again begin planning for.
I like that. That's really good. I think that's very key. And it does make sense. If you don't have anything planned on your schedule, you will get depressed because you have nothing to look forward to, whether it's your personal life or your work life. If you don't have things consistently occupying you, and especially the need for passion, and you have to really like what you're doing. If you have everything planned out in front of you, and you know that for the next couple of weeks I'll be doing X, Y, and Z, and then you put in a little vacation time or even a getaway, quick getaway. It makes it it brings a lot of happiness to you because you're doing you're playing the role of doing what you love, and you're also looking forward to quality time with your family. So it really it's a fulfilling way of doing things. So you overall have a healthy and happy life.
Yeah, one of the things that I really want to stress here is the fact that when you're able to enjoy life, life is a lot more enjoyable. One of the things that I think a lot of people experience is you'll talk to someone and they'll say, "It's been years since I've gone on vacation." Well, how sad is that? One of the things that you have to recognize is this doesn't have to be a trip to Tahiti for a 2-3 week period of time. It's a staycation where you take an extra day and do a 3-day weekend, where you go get a hotel room and you enjoy something downtown and go to an activity, a game or something. It's where you schedule something with your spouse, your friends, your family, and you just have something to look forward to. That's what we're talking about. Now, I tend to be an overachiever. Therefore, when I look at the studying, it says every 8 to 12 weeks, I'm supposed to have something on my calendar. Of course, I go above and beyond. And so I've got something now basically at least once or twice a month that I'm looking forward to. It's a snowmobiling trip with my friends. It's a trip down to Las Vegas with my family. It's a trip up to the cabin with some family. It's the fact that I've got an activity, something I'm looking forward to that I can anticipate. This Friday, I've got my family coming over. We're having a game night. Saturday, I fly to Austin for a conference and I'm in a conference all next week. After that, I've got another activity I'm going to. I mean, just enjoy life. And if you can do those personal time type focus things, you're always recharged. You're able to keep that energy and be engaging for the people that you work with.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, if we had to take what we've talked about today and you wanted to emphasize on some important factors, what are some things you'd like to emphasize?
That success does take sacrifice. We have to understand that there are things that we have to give in order to be successful. The second thing I would point out is as you're managing and juggling things in your life, realize that one, you can only have so many plates in the air. And two, you have to actually be present. So if you're ever finding yourself dwelling on the past or planning the future and not able to enjoy the moment, that's a sign, an indicator that you need to take care of a few things so that you can enjoy the now. And then the last thing is that there are five keys to success. It's passion, quality of product and service, knowledge of the numbers, commitment, and last of all, personal time. You have to find time for yourself. We work to live and enjoy life.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, can you tell everybody about Universal Accounting and the services that you provide?
Certainly, yeah. Universal Accounting Center, we're a post-secondary school for accounting professionals. We work with individuals that are trying to excel in their accounting careers. We help individuals with skills as it relates to getting the job, the promotion, the pay increase that they're looking for. We assist individuals who are looking to supplement their income or start an accounting, bookkeeping, or tax business. And then we work with the accounting firm owners as they're actually growing their services to offer quality services by training their staff and, more importantly, help them work efficiently and profitably. So, as a school, we're essentially here to help empower the accounting professionals to have what I refer to as the premier accounting firm in their area so that they can be an accountrepreneur and get paid what they're worth.
Oh, I love that. And you also have a lot of free resources and different things people could sign up for on your website. Can you mention that a little bit?
Yes, both personal and professional. So basically, you can go to universalaccounting.com, and there in the navigation, we have free resources. These are things that I would encourage you all to take and take a moment to look at, especially there's one that we've talked about before, which is the personal finance course. It's free. There's a job placement course that's for individuals looking for employment. It's free. There's a self-employment course there called the Turnkey Business Plan. It's free. So there's a number of books that you can check out that are ebooks that I would encourage everyone to read. They're wonderful reads. So yeah, there's a number of things to take advantage of. And at the same time, in the navigation, you'll find a podcast that I happen to host. It's where we have each week on the show guests that are basically experts in their own right, where we discuss basically what it is they're doing to be successful.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been amazing. And I thank you so much for coming on the show. Like always, you have a great message. And Time management, that episode you did was phenomenal. And it's been going off the charts. So I highly suggest that people actually stop and take some time to listen, and because there's so much to learn and you explain it so well and you get right to the point and you have such great ideas and suggestions in there that could actually turn people's lives around. Because, when it comes to time management, it's not always the easy thing to do. And if you learn how to do it the right way and you practice, you could actually start to establish stability in your life. And that episode, you kind of teach people how to actually, manage their time well and create stability in their life. So I would highly suggest it for people.
Yeah,
And
thanks for pointing that out. We also have a free time management course that's associated with that discussion as well.
well, I think I'm going to be signing up for that one. Well, Roger, this has been amazing. Like always, you do such great episodes, and I really enjoy you. And I think you're a great person. And I thank you so much for being on the show today. And everybody, take some time out to go to Universal Account, and there's such great information on that website. And you will get so much out of all that Roger has to offer, because there's a lot of things on that website, and you definitely there is something for you on that website.
Well, Stacy, once again, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity. And always remember this, if it's about accounting, it is universal.
Yes, it is. Have a great day, Roger.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.